Blog Talk Radio.
With the U.S. Army, and also his estate located outside of Chicago in DuPage County is called Cotigny. It's a museum of many military exhibits. And if you ever go to Chicago and you're interested in military exhibits, try to get out to Robert Mix estate. Here he is talking about, he started WGN Radio and it became TV. It was one of the first newspapers, Chicago Tribune, which was started by a relative of his, who came from Nova Scotia, incidentally.
Ladies and gentlemen, from WGN's auditorium studio, we switch you to the scene of our new building ceremony. Go ahead, Lee Bennett, at Illinois and St. Clair Street.
Thank you very much, John Mello, and good afternoon from a scene of great activity. Right before us here at Illinois and St. Clair Streets, preparations are being made for the digging of the huge pit for the first caissons upon which will rest a block-long addition to WGN and Tribune Tower. Here to take part in this significant ceremony is the man who has made this great undertaking possible, a man whose first thought has always been toward progress and ever-increasing service to the people of America and the Midwest. It is our proud privilege to introduce Colonel Robert R. McCormick, editor and publisher of the Chicago Tribune and president of WGN Chicago, serving the Middle West. Ladies and gentlemen, Colonel Robert R. McCormick.
As excavation preparations are just about complete for the first caisson for this new building, our thoughts naturally look ahead toward tomorrow's world of radio, facsimile, FM, television, and newspaper service, which this undertaking portends. But quite understandably, our thoughts also travel backward, delving into that hectic past out of which had risen Tribune Tower and the WGN building as we know them today, and out of which will rise this new addition, which we will know tomorrow. That eventful past starts nearly 100 years ago, on June 10th, 1847. For it was on that day that the Chicago Tribune was founded. The year 1847 marked more than the beginning of the Chicago Tribune. It was a year of numerous historical beginnings. Chicago was at the dawn of a new commercial and political era. The great new region west of the Alleghenies, something different from that part of the nation formed by the 13 colonies, was on the march. And Chicago was becoming its dynamic expression. This expression took the form of the creative mind. A free people set to work to make the dream of the human race come true. The first railroad was at hand. The telegraph outposts were near. The Illinois-Michigan Canal was about ready. Gas lights were around the corner. Flat roads were bringing the city out of the mud. The first stockyards had come, and the manufactured reaper. Into this stage of creation, the first issue of the Chicago Tribune was launched. 400 copies printed in small frame buildings at the corner of Lake and LaSalle Street. And as Chicago grew, the Tribune grew. Larger quarters were found over Gary's grocery store at the corner of Lake and Randolph Street. Then, one spring morning in 1855, a young editor with reddish hair and a spare figure walked into the Tribune office. And thereafter, the paper's history was largely of his making. This man was Jonas Medill, and for his entire lifetime, he became the dominant figure of the Tribune in the Midwest. Through the Tribune, it was Medill who supported Abraham Lincoln and the sound American politics for which he stood. It was Medill whose fine character and outspoken American principles were reflected in every column of the paper's makeup. It was Medill who brought the paper through trying days of the Civil War and established the Tribune as the true voice of the Middle West. Sparing no effort or expense to serve the dynamic community with which it had grown. As Chicago and the Tribune grew, more and more space was needed in order to provide this ever-increasing service. And after moving from building to building, one of the world's finest newspaper plants was erected on Michigan Avenue in 1924. The building we know today is Tribune Tower. In the meantime, the Tribune Company had acquired station WGN, which was operated from leased studios at the Drake Hotel. As radio grew, it was apparent that this means of communication was to become an equally important service to the community as newspaper communication. The Tribune and station WGN have worked hand in hand in serving this community with radio, became such an important factor that additional quarters were soon needed for the Tribune's new child. But it was that one of the nation's finest broadcasting plants was erected next to the Tribune Tower in 1935. This building is familiar to all Chicagoans today as the home of WGN. This afternoon, WGN and the Tribune, carrying on the tireless service of Jonas Medill, again work hand in hand to provide even greater service to the community with which these organizations have grown. As we are about to begin work on the first caisson, which will rest on bedrock, we are reminded that Chicago and the Midwest are still expanding, and WGN and the Tribune will always expand too. Expand with the city and community with which we have grown by serving for more than 98 eventful years. The spirit of Joseph Medill is still with us, and our eyes are turned, as his were always turned, towards the future and the welfare of our beloved city and community, Chicago and the Midwest.
Thank you very much, Colonel McCormick.
Now, in 1967, the
what,
six-day...
The Red Ram?
Huh?
The Red Ram?
No. We got to talk about, you know, the 13 tribes of Israel. You know, we include the Irish. Now, in 1967, the Six-Day War, we both remember that even, I think, Rebecca and my old flame and others were going to the Israeli consulate to try to go over there and fight against the Arabs.
Yeah.
What's going on now with, you know, here we are,
okay.
Generation
there's a
later.
Lot of support. There's a lot of support for the Israelis.
Mm-hmm.
They had a big rally downtown.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's a surprising support for the Palestinians.
Well, you have more. You didn't have that many then.
No,
in 67.
But now they had a huge rally a couple days ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I didn't expect, and there were even a number of non-Palestinians who are supporting that.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, how does I mean? You get around as a newspaper. You're a real journalist. I give you that.
Yeah.
Sometimes I think you and Von Papen ought to get together. You're always going to land on your feet, but anyway. Well, now, today's, you know, Jewish heritage, because I know a lot of these people, some of them don't even believe in circumcision. You wouldn't believe this.
Well,
but, you know, but I mean, they eat ham, and they're, I've heard explanation, oh, we're cultural Jews, if that.
Right.
I mean, we do see some who are mostly foreign, like Russian Jews, and that seen wearing their yarmulkes and that on the street.
Right.
But a lot more that I know don't practice anything.
Well, you've got some that are cultural Jews, and you've got some that are very Orthodox, and then you've got some that are ultra-Orthodox. If you go down Foster Avenue, there's a yeshiva there, and these guys look like they walked out of the shtetl.
Oh, they still have the beard and the black hat.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, my
God.
The women
dress in such a way that they would have made the pre-Vatican nuns look like hussies. I mean, really. But there, you know, there are many, many shades of Judaism.
Now, what about Rahm Emanuel? What does he do?
He is observant, but he is not Orthodox. I think.
Okay, so what does he do? Go to the what's that one on Lakeshore Drive on High Holidays?
St. Sholem.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, does he go there on the High Holidays?
I don't know where he goes. I don't think he goes to Sholem. I know he goes to another synagogue, and I know that his kids used to, I don't know if they still do, went to religious school.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So,
well.
And she is Jewish, but...
1960, the nation's governors approved a resolution urging the Congress to pass health insurance legislation. And in 1961, the first White House Conference on Aging, appointed by President Eisenhower, recommended health insurance for the elderly. But despite all the support, the Medicare bill was defeated by a close vote in the Senate in 1962. In 1965, President Lyndon Johnson made it a top priority. He had this to say.
Our older people are likely to be hospitalized three times as often as younger people. But their income is less than half that of people under 65. The end result is what? They then turn to public welfare. Now, this is not the American way. The Social Security Health Insurance Plan, which President Kennedy worked so hard to enact, is the American way. It is practical. It is sensible. It is fair. It is just.
Say, Ben, want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bets.
Cost you five. Tony, up to you.
Hey, Tony, what are you going to do?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Me too.
Gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We gotta pick a candidate for Congress this year.
Big ace.
Ace bets.
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay, where do you stand?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Here goes.
Possible straight, possible flush. Nothing.
Gentlemen, how about some names we can use? Some qualified Republican who's willing to lose.
How's about we should make Jack Riley the guy?
Which Riley are you thinking of, Jack B or Jack Y?
I say neither one. I never even met him.
I say when you got a pair of jacks, bet up.
Politics and poker, politics and poker, shuffle up the cards and find the joker. Neither game's for children, neither game is rough. Decisions, decisions, like
who to pick,
how to play, what to bet,
when to call a bluff.
All right now, fellas, politics or poker, which is more important?
Parrot raise.
Bet up.
Little trays, good as gold.
I'll say.
Raise your five.
I'll call.
I'll fold.
I'll raise your back.
I think you're bluffing.
Put your money where your mouth is.
Okay, I'm in.
Gentlemen, knock it off and let's get this done.
Try Michael Panyashinkovich. I'm certain he'd run.
Mike is out. I'm afraid he just wouldn't sell. Nobody likes a candidate whose name they can't spell.
How about Dave Zimmerman?
Dave, he's too bright.
What about Walt Gustafson?
Walt died last night.
How about Frank Monahan?
What about George Gale?
Frank ain't a citizen and George is in jail.
We could run out Wallenstein.
He's only 23.
What about Ed Peterson?
You idiot! That's me!
Politics and poker! Politics and poker! Play for a pot that's mediocre! Politics and poker! Rubbing neck and neck! If politics seems more predictable, that's because usually you can stack the deck! And what's why we learn that in poker?